The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Today I want to talk with the same subject. And what are the benefits of fasting? Boy, you're talking about good timing. I'm going to give out the bulletins when I start preaching. Don't you dare read that bulletin while I'm preaching. Man. Oh, for the notes. Oh, thank you, darling. You see, my wife is smarter than I am. She realized that I thought y'all were going to sit there and read that. You can just use the note portion of the sermon. You know, Newt, I am a three-point sermon man. I think three points is about usually all you can stand. This one has got 5 points to it. We're either going to be here a long time or I don't plan on finishing this sermon. It's the latter of the two, okay? But I was on a roll, and so I just in case I get going through it. Is my microphone picking up some sound off my jacket? Yeah. Is it? Then I need to take my jacket off. Miss Patricia, can you come here for a minute? Excuse me. I think this will help. Okay, thank you. Okay. Did that clear up the sound a little bit? A little bit? Okay. So what are the benefits of fasting? Why would you even bother to fast? Guys, you might want to turn the high lights on. Let's look at Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. And this is the New International Version. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rent your hearts and not your garments. Pay attention to that. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offering and drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Father, we thank you for your word. It is indeed meat and drink unto us. Lord, let your word this morning pierce our very soul that we might hear what it is that you, the Spirit of God, would say to us, the church of the living God. And Father, we rejoice in that in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Excuse me for one moment, those of you who are watching and those of you who are listening. Jim, that first part of the, when I got up to speak, would you cut that out as a separate thing? Because I want to put that on the internet in a little separate video, okay? Got that? Shaking your head. All right, good. Just paying attention. All right. Whenever the people of God get tired of living under the heavy burden of life without the blessings of God, and return to him, it opens the door to heaven so that he can pour out blessings upon you that you cannot contain. Wow. Historically, people grow cold in their walk with the Lord. It's just a fact. I'd like it to be different. I'd like that we didn't have to go to the internet, that everybody would come to churches around the world, but that's not happening, so we're going to where they are. And it's a fact that people grow cold. And things that make them grow cold, one of them is just sin and bad habits in your life. I'll tell you something you can't do. You can't live in sin and worship God. I don't care whether you're born again, speak in other tongues, prophesy, preach in the pulpit. But if you've got sin following you in your life and you can't get rid of it and you're entertaining it, you're struggling with it, it's going to be hard for you to worship God and to get close to God. It breaks the fellowship between you and God. God still loves you. God still cares. God still wants to do things. But it's a problem, and it makes you grow cold. The cares of this life will cause you to break fellowship with God. You know, instead of you having your possessions have you. You know, you got to have one more thing, it'll make you happy. You know, one more thing. You know, it's amazing how fickle we are. In this nation, the U.S. of A., we have more things than most people in the world even dream of, and we're never satisfied. We always want something else, and that something else ends up possessing us. Whether it's a house, whether it's a car, whether it's a wife, whether it's children, whether it's finances, whether it's food, whether it's any multiplicity of things, those things make us grow cold. The actual work of the devil himself makes us leave the fellowship of God. We start following him. You know, Jesus was telling us something when they asked him, said, Master, teach us how to pray. And one of the things he said is, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Don't let the enemy get us led off in some wrong place. And he comes along to entice us to take away our strength and our energy, and we go running off in the wrong direction. And it causes us to lose fellowship with the Lord. Lack of faith. Not believing God. Just not trusting him anymore. Just trying to live in your own strength. If you're living in your own strength, you're going to fall. You can't make it. You can't do it. What we do must be done by the strength and the faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. And having faith that he'll do that. I've got a fountain in my backyard. Those of you who have been there, that fountain is 5 years old. It's been leaking for 5 years. It's driving me crazy. And I've just spent another $2,800 trying to get it fixed. It's still leaking. It's bothering me. And it's like keep coming to my mind, you know. It's just coming back. Well, Morris, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Pat can tell you, I've tried virtually everything under the sun to find out what is wrong with that fountain. And this morning I was getting ready to come, and the fountain came to my mind again. And I am determined to let God fix my fountain because I don't know how to fix it. I think God's trying to teach me something, all right? So I'm going through the process, and I'm willing to learn. But I have faith that God's going to make this thing stop leaking. Of course, one of the easy ways to make it quit leaking is to do what? Take all the water out. Fill it with mud. And it may end up that way. I don't know. It'll be the most expensive flower pot you have ever seen. I guarantee you that. But, you know, God has provided for a way for us to return back from the coldness of the night into the warmth of the day. And one of the ways, it's not the only way, but I believe it's the quickest way and the strongest way is through a time of fasting. There's something that happens when we deny the flesh and the spirit is allowed to rise up. This week, I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday. Those of you who get the stuff by the email, you probably got this if you had a chance to read it. I woke up at 5:30, and that's no pat on the back. It's just one of those things God's got me doing. Got up at 5:30 to pray. I went into my office at about 6:30 to do some stuff, and the day took off. At about 10:30, I decided to go to bed. And I went and looked in the mirror, and I realized I hadn't shaved. I hadn't combed my hair. I still had my jammies on. I hadn't even brushed my teeth. And I said, well, boy, that's forgetting about the flesh and getting in the spirit. I had so many spiritual things going that I just didn't even get around to it. I have never done that in my entire adult life. I'm just a neat freak. I don't know where I got it from, but I got it. I wake up in the morning, I want to shave. I don't want my wife to see me scrubby. That's just the way I am, except for my mustache, and she loves it. It tickles. But putting down the flesh allows your spirit to rise up. I wouldn't do that in my normal course of life, but that happened to me this week. So you need to make up your mind, as this passage of Scripture says, that you want to return to the Lord, that you want to get back to wherever it was that you were, that you've drifted away from, or you want to get to a place that you've never been before. But you have to make up your mind with your heart. It says that you rent your heart and not your garment. So it's not a physical thing, but it's a spiritual thing. When you finally decide to get serious, you know, some of you got in the Christian walk and thought you just, well, I'll just go to church on Sunday now, you know, and I just give my money and I just show up and I'll just be happy being saved. Well, you can do that, and that's quite acceptable. They have a name for those folks in the seminary. They call them pew warmers. I would never say that, but they say that down at seminary. So if you want to be a pew warmer, just keep that puppy warm. But if you want to get into the kingdom of God in a way that most people never get, if you want to touch the hem of his garments, if you want to hear the voice of God speaking to you, I believe that the best way to do that is to rent your heart and not your garments. It's not about what you're giving up. It's about who you're going to, and allows you to concentrate on the Lord. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion. I like the way we start our services. We blow that trumpet. The boys are getting better at it. We first started doing that about a year ago. They were kind of crummy. It was squeaky. But boy, they're getting better about it every week. And I really like to hear that shofar just blast out. Well, we're, you know, what it's saying about blow the trumpet, let everybody know what you're doing. You know, there's this thing, and there's a measure of truth in it, so I don't want to deny it, about when you fast, you know, just keep it to yourself. Well, there's a time for that, but there's a time to do it collectively. In fact, the group that I meet with every Wednesday, the Wednesday Warriors, I invited that group to join us in the fast, and one of the guys chided me. He said, well, when you fast, you're supposed to keep it to yourself. I said, yeah, you are sometime, but if I don't tell you about it, how are you going to know? And he couldn't respond to me very well. So, you know, you need to know about it, but you need to tell yourself you're doing it. Make it a commitment. Say, I am going to do this. Self, do you hear me? Put your name there. You know, do you hear me? We are going to do this. You and me. Self. You and I. Together. Tell yourself you're going to do it. Make a commitment. Say yes. That's a word we don't like today, especially in a church like ours. We talk about the grace of God and the power of God. But I'll tell you what, you need to tell yourself you're going to do it and then stick to it. Make it happen. Tell the devil. Devil, you can bring all the pizza you want on the television. You know, you can make it smell good when I walk down the street. You can make me crave those things that you love. But devil, I'm telling you right now, you can just get the out of my life. Because for me and my house, and if the house won't fall, I'm going to do it with just me. But we are going to fast. Let everybody know. Sound the alarm. Let them know. He says, call a sacred assembly. We're called together. We're going to meet tomorrow night, Monday night, 7 p.m. We're going to meet Tuesday night, 7 p.m. I want you to be here. I want you to join us in prayer. We've had some awesome times of prayer. Say, oh, well, Pastor, you know, I'm really tired. Well, so am I. You think you're the only one who gets tired? I want to stay home. You think you don't like to stay home, especially tomorrow night? The weather's going to be crummy. Probably you want to stay inside, nice and cozy, warm. Come over here and really feel the heat. The heat of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God. I want you to come. Say, well, he's talking to me. He's not talking to me. He's talking to somebody else. No, I'm not. I'm talking to you. You know? And I know how busy you are and how many things you've got in your thing. Well, just come anyway. I've been pretty good. Well, about 8:15, we've been walking out of the door. So I'm going to keep it down to an hour. So in this scripture, even the, it's a picture of God and what he will do. It says that he's gracious and compassionate. That's the Lord. You know, he's not a God of wrath out to get you, trying to get you, twist you, and, you know, you're trying to manipulate him through a fast. But he's filled with compassion. He's slow to anger. He's not, you ought to be glad God's slow to anger. If he wasn't slow to anger, you'd have been squished like a bug a long time ago. All right? And so he's been very slow and compassionate and having long suffering towards you. And he's willing to relent from any chastisement that may be in your life. Now, I may not like to hear it, but I'll tell you what, If you want to be a believer and you want to live out in the cold and think you can just stay out there, I'm going to tell you that the hound of heaven will be on your trail trying to bring you in. And he doesn't mind giving you a good spanking if you need it. You know? But he'll relent when you change your mind. Israel was in trouble in the book of Joel. God spoke to the prophet. He told them to call a sacred assembly, to call for a fast, to sound the alarm. He told them to do those three things, and I just did it in reverse order. And when they did, watch what happened. Are you ready? That was just the introduction. I told you I couldn't finish this sermon in one day. Unless you can stay here for a couple hours. I don't hear any hands raised and no applause. You're not going to lunch, so where are you going to go? You're not going to go watch the Saints? Moving right along, God will provide all that you need for life when you fast. This is one of the benefits. Let's look at Joel chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Then the Lord will be jealous. When? Then. When is then? After the fast. Thank you, Jim. After the fast, then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. That's an old word. The Lord will repay them. I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. The benefits of life's provisions relates to the New Testament promise of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The heart of God is stirred when you fast. You know, we always tell God to stir our hearts, but what we don't realize sometimes is that we stir the heart of God. That when his people follow him, when his people rent their hearts, when his people decide to follow the instructions of the prophet as given to them to fast and pray, the heart of God is stirred. You reach God. You touch God. You're not manipulating him, but you are reaching out to him, and he sees. You know, over and over, the Bible talks about God seeing his people, hearing his people, hearing their prayers, seeing their hearts, knowing what's going on in their lives. And God knows and he sees and it stirs his heart. And as a good father, he wants you to have everything that you need for life. Those of you who are parents, as I am, you want the best for your kids, don't you? You really do. And that doesn't just break your heart when they do stupid things, you know? When they were little, you could take care of that, couldn't you? You know, you could give them the good old lap treatment. You know, put them over your lap and whack them a couple of times. You know, you could take their things away from them. I remember when my dad took my automobile away from me. Oh, did I forget to mention it was his automobile? excuse me for that. You know, I found out I couldn't drive without dad's keys. You know, and I had to walk. And he said, from now on, you're walking. He wanted me to have that car. My dad wanted to bless me. My dad wanted to watch over me. He wanted the best for me, but my hard-headedness kept it away. Father God wants to be the same way in your life and see to it that you have all that you need for life. This idea of grain and wine and oil is not giving you enough to get by. It's not beggarly that you eat a few grains and you drink a little wine and have a little oil to use for cooking and eating. And then, you know, you're just hungry at the end of it and you're crying out to God for more. That's not the picture at all. He wants you to have it with enough to satisfy you fully, is what we just read. Enough to satisfy you fully. So you'll get up from the table and say, oh, that was a good meal, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you for providing for me what I needed. Thank you, Lord, that there's enough, that I don't have to go out and beg and go out and glean from the fields to get what I need at someone else's mercy, that you have provided what I need. You know, in the Old Testament, it spoke about God giving them a land that flowed with milk and honey, a place where they could be provided for. You know, milk and honey means a whole lot to you in the middle of the desert. When you're walking around and you've got nothing going for you, you know, you're following Moses and his stick, you know, in the pillar of fire and the flame, the cloud of day. When you're following those things, and the only thing you've got to eat is manna, you know, when there's a promise that you'll go into a land that's flowing with milk and honey, I mean, everybody's saying what? Amen. You know, I'm looking forward to that. You know, we do that here. We, you know, I mentioned earlier about a vision of the heavenly realm. We all want to be there. We want to cross over that Jordan River and have all those things. So God's saying that he will provide those things just as they need. I believe with all my heart, and you can prove me wrong if you want, if you can, but I believe with all my heart that those people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, those who have put their trust in him, those who have turned their lives over to him, those who are willing to rent their hearts to fast and to pray, I believe that God will take them out of poverty. You don't need to live in poverty. Are you listening to me? You don't need to live in poverty. And I don't believe God wants you to live in poverty. He wants you to prosper. That's what this scripture says. Not begging, having to go get food stamps. There's nothing wrong with food stamps if that's what you got to do. But I'd rather work and get my own money to buy the kind of food I want without somebody else providing it for me. I'd rather be on my own. I'd rather have my cupboards full. I don't want to have to ask someone else to give me a ride. I want to be able to get myself where I need to go. I don't want to have to live in somebody else's house. I want to live in my own house. I want to have my clothes, not hand-me-down clothes. And if people need that, they need it. But I am convinced, and you'll have a hard time convincing me otherwise, except in very rare circumstances where God's doing a very, very unique work in someone's life, would a believer ever have to live like that? But many do, because nobody's ever told them they could get out of that. And I'm telling you, one of the ways to get out of it is fasting your way out of it. Let me put it in contemporary terms. You know, maybe you don't get it with grain and oil and want new wine, but let's put it this way. You'll have food in your pantry. You got a pantry at home? Isn't it nice to walk in that thing and look and see everything that's in there? Say, thank you, Lord, for food, canned food, you know, cookies on the shelf, you know, bread, peas, beans, whatever else we keep in our pantry. It's nice to have a pantry full. That's what he's saying. Your pantry will be full. You'll have gas in your car. At the price of gas, I'm glad every time I look at my gas tank and it's full. I like to see it full. That means I don't have to buy any gas for a while. Hopefully the price will go down for the next time I need to get some. Your car will have gas in it. We have people stop here all the time needing money for gas to get out of town or get through town. You'll have clothes in your closet. It's nice to go in your closet and find clothes. You don't have to wear the same shirt every day or the same dress or the same pair of shoes. They have abundance of clothes in your closet. They have money in the bank. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody starts singing and praising God, having money in the bank. Oh, what a glorious thing that is. It's a lot money. Believe me, it's a lot greater to have money in the bank than to do what? Owe the bank. Hallelujah. I got an amen back there. And it says in the scripture that he won't make you an object of scorn to the nations. In other words, you won't be ashamed anymore. You don't have to be ashamed of what you're wearing and what you're eating and where you're going. You can walk in the pride of God, saying the Lord has provided for me all that I need. That's the glory of God. And God wants you to get there. And some of you may be saying, well, you know, I'd like to get there, Pastor. Well, I'll tell you how to get there. Fast and pray and believe God. I believe you'll get there. Amen? All right. Moving on. Point number two. God will deliver you from your enemies. Let's look at Joel chapter 2, verse 20. I will drive the northern army far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land. You been in a parched and barren land? That's for your enemies. That's not for you. With its front columns going into the eastern sea, and those in the rear into the western sea, and its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Those forces that have been against you, whether they be human or demonic, who oppose you will be driven from you. Has the devil been on your case? There's a good way to get rid of him. Good way to drive him off. You know, the devil can't live where you are. Now, I'm going to straighten something out for you in case your theology has been messed up. I love to straighten out. Sometimes straightening out theology is like a carpenter who's got a bent nail, and he needs to use that nail. So what does he do? He puts it down on a solid surface, and he takes a hammer, and he does what? He beats on it until he gets straight so he can use it. Let me beat on you just a little bit. If you're a born-again believer, you cannot, under any circumstances, be possessed by a demon. Get over that. Amen. A demon cannot dwell in the house of God. Amen. It's impossible. A house divided against itself cannot exist. They accused Jesus of that very thing. They said, well, he has a demon, the things that he does. He does it by the power of Beelzebub. And he straightened it out right there. He said, no, that's not true. A house divided cannot stand. And the power of God and the power of Satan will not exist in the same temple. Now, that's the truth. Now, you can be harassed by, and you can be oppressed by, and you can hear a lot of clatter from the enemy, but he cannot possess you. The only way he could possess you, he'd have to drive Christ out of the temple, which is you. And he doesn't have that power, nor does he have that authority. So some of your theology has been, oh, well, you know, I had a demon of, and you name it. I had the demon of smoking and the demon of sex or the demon. You don't have a demon of those things at all. You may be tempted, and you may be leaning towards those things where you sort of put yourself in his neighborhood, but he cannot possess the temple of God. If he could, your salvation would never be secure. Okay, got that straightened out. All your little nails are looking good now. Fasting with your heart drives away demons. They cannot stay in the presence of God. Jack, I know you're running that camera down there. I'm fixing to move, all right? I'm fixing to go down here in the front because I need to get close. Because some of you are not hearing me yet. You know, you don't get medals by making statements of, well, the devil was sure on my case. And I'm all beat up because the devil was on my case. Man, I don't want you in my army. The one I want to hear is the devil tried to get on my case and I drove him off by the word of God, by the word of my testimony and the blood of the Lamb, and he ran from me. Amen. There was a lady one time many years ago. She had cancer, and she was fighting it. She was a woman of faith. And she would get really, really sick sometime and really, really hurting. And she would call me up in the middle of the night and ask me if I'd come over and pray for her. Not too many people I'd get out of bed for in the middle of the night. I used to say, take a couple of aspirin, I'll see you in the morning, all right? But she did. And I remember one time I went over to her house, and when I got there, I mean, she was in extreme pain. And as soon as I walked in, I realized that there was something demonic going on in her house. And when I got there, I began to pray for her, and I began to realize that praying for her was not the thing to be doing, but that these demonic forces were trying to attack her. And so I told her, I said, there are demonic forces here that are trying to get to you, and I want to address those things and not you. And I'm not whacked out, all right? Some of you know me. No, I'm not whacked. You may think I'm whacked out, but I'm not. I saw in the spirit demonic forces that were in that, not in her house, but on the outside of her house. She had a sliding glass door, and I remember seeing it. And I rebuked those things in the name of the Lord. And when they left, the pain left her. I don't know if you remember that night, Pat. You know where we were. And it kind of surprised me. I had never experienced anything like that before. So there are demonic forces that come by. You know, sometimes if you walk someplace or you feel that creepy feeling, you know, your hair just kind of stands up on edge and you say, you know, something's going on here. 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 times out of 100, it's demonic forces that are coming by. They may be just walking by. But by the word of your testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, they must leave. And if you're constantly being barraged by demonic forces, you can break their power and drive them away through fasting and prayer. Look what Jesus did. Jesus set the example for us, all right? He fasted and prayed, and the enemy came against him, and he was able to rebuff him and drive him away because of what he had done previously during that 40 days. I'm not even asking you to fast for 40 days. It's 21. Piece of cake. It's only 14 now. Unless you want to go over a week after I'm finished and I'll be eating pizza. Well, that's fine. Okay, y'all got that? You know, it's a delicate subject. People don't like to hear it. They don't like to talk about it. And by the way, well, I won't go there. That's a sermon for another time. All right. I don't want to get carried away with this idea. All right, Jack, I'm back on the platform. He's back there moving buttons, trying to catch up with me. Fasting causes those who cause grief. I can't even read my notes here. It causes those who cause you grief to be removed from you. You know, there's some human beings that are driving you nuts. You know, the devil doesn't always have a pitchfork and wears a red suit with a long tail. Sometimes he looks like your boss or you, somebody else in your family or someone else that's just harassing you. You can break their power over you through fasting. You have that ability to have that happen. This is a long lost weapon in the arsenal of Christianity in modern times, the power to break the authority over those over you who are harassing you. And you can do it through fasting. On a 21-day fast, which we're doing, Daniel was having a difficult time, as you all know. The remarkable part about the story with Daniel is that when 21 days into the fast, when he finished the fast, the angel showed up. And this is what the angel said to him. I've been trying to get here since you started praying and fasting, but I had to fight my way to get here. In a 21-day fast, you don't know what you're praying about, whether it's for yourself, your family, or your finances, or your health, or a sin problem. You don't know what's going on in the spiritual realm as you are praying and fasting. There is a fight and a war that is going on. There's a fictional book written by a guy, there's several he's written by, the name of Frank Peretti. And it's a fictionalized account, I believe, of a spiritual truth. In one of his books, I believe it was Pierce the Darkness, I believe, which is the first one that he wrote, he, using literary images, explains this principle. And the way he showed it is that when people were praying, the forces of evil were held back. When they were praying the fasting, they were actually held back. And whenever God's people quit praying, they were able to advance. And I believe that that's true. They're able to gain more ground, do more things, and the people who oppose you are able to do more things against you. But when you pray and fast for an extended time, you are blocking and making war against them. You're actually stopping them from what they're doing. Israel went into battle at a place called Gilead. What had happened was Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, had done a horrific thing, and I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. It's in the book of Judges. God spoke to Israel and said, you go. They asked the Lord, said, shall we go into battle? And the Lord said, go. And they went. Now, I can't explain all this to you, but I'm going to just tell you the story. They went, and in that first day of battle, they lost 22,000 men. 22,000 warriors fell. They went back, and they cried and lamented to the Lord. And the next day, they said, Lord, shall we go out against them again? And the Lord said, go. And they went out. That day, they lost 18,000 men in battle. And they came back and they lamented before the Lord again. Said, Lord, you told us to go. Why are we suffering this? And it says that they fasted and prayed. And the next day they said, Lord, shall we go into battle? And the Lord said, yes. And the next day they won the battle. Now, I can't explain all of that to you. Why they asked the Lord, he said, go, and they didn't have victory. Why I asked again, and he said, go, and they didn't have the victory. But the point that I want to make to you, on the third day, when they did what? Fasted and prayed and went into battle, they were victorious. I can't explain everything that there is to know about fasting and its power. But I can tell you that according to the scriptures, according to my own experience and the testimonies of others, that deliverance comes and great power and might happens when you're fasting. If you're sitting here, you're listening to me, and you're having battles with demonic forces, in, whether they're in people or whether they're demons from hell themselves, you're dealing with things that you can't get the victory of. You can live with those things. You can be a crybaby for the rest of your Christian life until the Lord takes you home, or you can do something about it. And I'm telling you what to do is to fast and pray, because there is power in fasting. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right, good. I'll make you put those Twinkies down. Those who oppose you, the scripture says, will be defeated. They're sent to a dry, barren land. They decrease and you increase. Ever you run into a demon force and you don't know what to say, this is what you say when you're praying. This is not a formula, but this is according to the scripture. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must leave and go to your own dry, uninhabited places. Drive them away. Jesus drove them into pigs and they jumped over the cliff. A barren place. That's a good scripture for you to know. It says they will be driven into the sea, to the east and the west. In other words, they'll be completely obliterated. Those who harass you, you will not be able to find them. That's good news. How'd you like to wake up tomorrow morning and not have to deal with that again? How'd you like to have the victory over those things you're fighting in your life? How'd you like to wake up tomorrow and say, not only do I have food in the pantry, but I don't have the devil on my case anymore. And that person who's been harassing me for days, months, or years, or decades, is finally out of my life. Are you hearing me? Are you registering? Are you believing me? You know, it's in me. I'm just reading the Word of God to you and helping you understand it. It says the stench will rise up. In other words, the truth of them, they will be dead. They won't be there any longer. They won't be around to harass you anymore. Dead things stay dead, except those that God raises up. And then God's not raising up any demons. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody ought to be shouting.
Amen,
amen, and amen. All right. Hallelujah. I'm going to do this last third point, and then I'm going to close for today. But you probably, maybe you don't want to hear this one. God will restore and prosper you. You don't want to hear that, do you? Oh, yeah, you do, baby. This is good stuff. Let's look at Joel chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. The threshing floors. Remember we talked earlier about be grain and there be oil and be wine? Listen to this. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you, hallelujah, for the years that the locust and the young locust and the other locusts, and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. God says that this isn't just getting by and having the pantry full. This is living in abundance. It's having more than you need. It's having enough to give to others. You know, one of the ways that we were able to pay for all the stuff we have here, you had enough abundance to give that we could pay for it and get it done. I talked to the newspaper man and I told him how much money we raised in the time frame we did. He said, you're kidding me. I said, no, I'm not kidding you. Those people gave sacrificially. There's no rich people in this church. No, they gave sacrificially. and gave us the money that we needed to put all of this together. You have to be prospering for this to happen. One of the ways you can prosper is through fasting. Say, oh, well, maybe you shouldn't fast for God to increase you. Well, it seems to me, according to this, is a good way to get some increasing. Let me dispel another little nails. You ready for the hammer blow? There's nothing holy about being poor. Well, you may be poor in spirit. That's good. You don't get any brownie points with God because you're broke. Trust me, I've been broke and I've had money. Life's a lot better when you got money. It's a lot better when you got abundance. It's got a lot better when you can be given instead of receiving. It's a lot better to have the prosperity of the Lord in your life. We don't have to be poor, and your preacher doesn't need to be poor. I'm going to triple my salary. Some of you are laughing because you know I don't take a salary here. I might one day, you never know. The Lord told me to do it, I'd do it. He hadn't told me to do it yet, but if he told me to do it, I'd do it. You know, you got this old expression, you know, in churches, you know, Lord, you keep him humble and we'll keep him poor. You know, that's just about the way they do it. What kind of mentality is that? Do you want that for yourself? Don't you want to prosper? Don't you want to see the fruits of your labor? One of the ways you can do it is through fasting. God will prosper you. He said your floors will be filled. The vats will be overflowing. There'll be plenty. Plenty enough for you to do whatever you need to do. And let me tell you what, right now, so you don't get this wrong, it may not necessarily be for you to just use for yourself. It'll be for you to give for others. But let me tell you what, some of it's for you. Some of it's for you to get a new set of wheels, to get some new clothes, to have, you know, a better diet. Put on a little bit more makeup if you need it. You know, get a new pair of shoes if you need it. That's it. Paint the barn. Yeah. I paint the barn now. Pat has to dress me up before I come now that we're on the internet. She puts powder on me so I don't shine, baby, shine. Poor Dennis, we got to put scotch tape on him to hold him together. We got him a new mic that he wears over his ear, and he had a scotch tape it on so it doesn't fall off. All the things that we do for the Lord. But God wants to prosper you, my dear friends. You don't have to live in poverty. It's not good to be in poverty. You're fasting. If you've got poverty, you can break it by fasting. It'd be easier. You don't have any money to buy food anyway. That's funny. I thought that was funny. You'll get that in a little while. This is a grace restoration. God restores to you that life, the things that life has taken away from you. And some of it's been by his hand. Some of it he took away because you were living like the devil. And he had to get you in line. But now that you're back in line, and now that your heart's repped, now that you're fasting and praying, God wants to prosper you. And it's okay to prosper. It's okay to be overflowing. It's good to go to the bank account and say, wow, my bank account grew. When Pat and I first got in the kingdom, it was pretty much in vogue for people to fast and pray. We've gotten sophisticated now. You know, when we first got in the kingdom and we found out about baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, we were new Christians and we got baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues. And some of you think I'm respectable. I'm absolutely not respectable in the kingdom. I do anything God tells me to do. It's not a problem for me. So I can't tell you how many people got thrown out of churches because I had the deacons come to my house of the church. My friends, people that I went to lunch with, went hunting with, my buddies, they found out that I had been baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoken other tongues. And they came to my house and they sat in my living room and they said, Brother Morris, I'm surprised they called me Brother Morris. They said, do you speak in other tongues? I said, well, don't you believe that speaking in other tongues is of the devil? And they said, yes, we do. I said, do I look like a devil to you? And they said, do you speak in other tongues? I said, do you believe that the devil could teach in your church and teach adult Sunday school classes and go on camping trips with your children and teach them? So you believe the devil would do that? And they said, do you speak in other tongues? This is true. And they said, I said, do you believe that you would not recognize a devil if he was in your church and doing the stuff that that I do in your church? And you think I'm of the devil because you think I speak another tongue? And they said, do you speak in other tongues? I said, yes, I do. And I'm so glad that I do. It's a gift from God. And they all stood up as a front queue, and they said, you are hereby removed from the roles of the church, and you cannot come to our church ever again. And they walked out of my door. I haven't seen them since. Wow. How you like that? But Pat and I were fasting and praying in the midst of all that. And you know what was happening to us? We were prospering. When we got in the kingdom, we were so broke, the broke people talked about us. I owed money to the bank. I didn't have a house to live in. We were living with Pat's mom and dad, gracious people that they were. They gave us a bedroom, and we were in there. I didn't have a job. Nobody wanted me. I was absolutely useless. But we started praying and believing, and what do you know? We found a little house so we could move out. I know my father-in-law was praying. You know, yeah, and we moved out, and we found a little place that we could rent and then take the rent and apply it towards the purchase price. We didn't have anywhere in the world of buying anything. We were stone broke. And within 6 months, Pat, 6 months, we bought that house. We had enough money to go closing. And if I remember right, we walked away from the closing. I think we had 50 bucks, right? $5. I knew there was a five in there somewhere. We had $5 that we owed, but we had a house to live in that was our own. And got prosperous and prosperous. And then through the years, we were able to move from that house to another house. I'm going to give you my whole testimony today. We moved to the house that we had on Broadmoor. God opened it up. We were miraculously got it at a phenomenal price. We took that other house we had and we rented it out for many, many years. It brought income into us. We were able to sell it at a great profit just about 5 years ago. Then we got other stuff, and God just began to prosper us. And I'm telling you, Pat and I would sit down at the end of the year, we'd look at our income tax, and we'd look at the money we'd made, and I had increased more than the money that I made. And we never have understood it to this very day. So how'd you do that? We were fasting, and we were praying. But then we got sophisticated. You know, we kind of got in vogue to be Pentecostal, you know? And nobody was snoring us out. We, the Pentecostal movement, we began to build our own churches. You know, we had this charismatic church here in town, and we had this Pentecostal church in town, and we could actually fellowship with the people who were throwing us out before. In fact, we were infiltrating them. You know, every once in a while, you'd go to one of these churches that are throwing people out, and they were in there just raising their hands. They just laugh at that, and they were raising their hands doing worship service. By the way, for those who've never done that, if you ever you get those chains off your hands and lift them up, it's a lot of fun. I only got one. I'd raise this one up if I could. That's the highest it goes. But the point I'm making to you is that prosperity came into my life, in the lives of many others, and to the people in this passage of Scripture when they did what? Fasted and prayed. And God moved. Would you like that to happen to you? There's one of the ways. It's not the only way, but this is a good way for it to happen. And finally, the last thing I want to say about this, that passage of Scripture says, I will repay. It's a promise that God will intervene on your behalf. He'll intervene on your behalf. All the stuff you lost, God will get it back to you. Scripture says if you catch a thief, he has to give you back seven times what he took from you. Some of you need to do a payback. You know, the devil's robbed you, and you need a payback. This is one way of getting there. Now, you can just say, Brother Morris, you know, I appreciate all that. You know, it's great. You've got a great testimony, you know. You do for you. And, you know, but that's just not me, you know. I'm just not there. Well, let me give you some good words that you need to hear. You're never going to get there. You're never going to get there with that attitude. But if you want to get there, this is one of the ways to get there. Now, next week, God willing, I will finish this. And boy, I tell you what, I got some great stuff. God will make his presence known to you. This is awesome. This is awesome. Ooh, it's so good. I'm reading my notes. It's so good. But the only way you're going to get it, you're going to have to tune in next week, and I'll finish this sermon. I knew I wasn't going to finish this when I put it together, as I told you earlier. But it's, you see, there's the labor of fasting, but there's the joy of the benefits that come with it. And God wants to bless you abundantly. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you're so good. Lord, if we had all eternity, if we had the voices of those thousand angels, Lord, if we could just get it all out, we still would run short of praising you and thanking you for the great things that you have done for us. Lord, I pray that this message will pierce our very hearts, that we will keep on keeping on, and that we might see what you can do in the lives of men and women who come to you with all their heart, believing in you and trusting in you. Lord, let it be so. Let this message have life as the Word of God has life. And Father, we pray and ask these things in the glorious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I am going to dismiss you in the name of the Lord. Anything else we need to say before you go? If you got special needs, a prayer, or something I can help you with, I'll be around. So with that said, you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Amen.